Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
To preach, and we love to preach the word, but on special days like Mother's Day, we like to have the ladies come up, and we like to hear from them, which is always good. You know, you get a lot in the... am I okay? Can I further? Is that as far as it needs to go?
Okay, that's good.
Just make sure they're all in the shot. Just three. Is that good? Is that better?
Okay, all right.
Well, so yeah, so we love to do this. We love to talk about real things, real life. It'd be good if I had a Bible or I had something. We have quite a number of folk away today. They're, as I said earlier, they're talking with their mums, and that's a fantastic thing. Family days are really, really important, and... are we good? Oh, we've got to go this way? That much? So that's just, I'll move this over a little. Is that better? And can I just stand here then? Will I be in the shot? Like that? A bit forward? Yeah, good. All right, well, thank you, Jesus. Wow, God is good. God is good. All right, so we're going to ask our ladies to come up, I think. So, hang on a second here. Okay, so we're going to ask Faye to come up. Faye, if you'd come up, be great. Give them a great round of applause. That's great. We're going to ask Mel Callahan to come up. Yay! Woo! And we're going to ask Di to come up as well. Yay! Okay. This is going to be fun. Fun. I move. Oh, sorry. Thank you. Is that better? Is that okay? Good on you, Pete. Pete's our main cameraman. Keeps me in the shot. Beautiful. Okay. Well, again, welcome. Thank you, ladies, for wanting to be involved. How about I use that one?
Hello, hello.
Hello.
And you guys can use that moving one.
Thank you.
That's probably better. We are going to get a better mic shortly. Sorry, I'm all tangled up here. There you go, that's better. All right, well, thank you, ladies, for coming and sharing with us this morning. And happy Mother's Day to you all. I hope you got it yesterday. Yes. Just sometimes just a little reminder there is always helpful, isn't it, eh? Okay. All right, so I'm going to ask you all a series of questions. And I've sent you a question, so you know what you're going to be asked. There's nothing sneaky. And if we have time, we'll get through all of them. If we don't, we'll play it by ear. So let's start from the number one. How did you become a Christian?
For me, that would have been through my grandmother. From when I was very young, she would talk to me about God and whisper in my ear about Sunday school and going to church. And so from about five, I asked my mum to take me to church. And I guess from there, both my mum and I became Christians. And I guess I would have been about 12 when I committed my life to God from on my own.
Cool. Mel?
Hello. For me, it was a bit late. I always went to Sunday school as a kid, but it was more of a religious thing, I guess, than, you know, a God thing. So it was through Tom's mum, who was really on fire for God at that time, and she took me to church, and it was really quick from there on. Yep.
My parents were always Christians, and I think when my dad wasn't always a Christian, but when he was 21, he was part of the Methodist Church, and when he was 21, I think he found Christ, and he was in the Methodist Church, and he experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he wasn't wanted after that in the Methodist Church. He was too full on. And his journey really started there, and with my mum, and yeah, they brought me up as a Christian. So all I've ever known is being in church, which is a great blessing. And yeah, it's probably about 41 years.
That's good. That's awesome. Okay. Give or take a month or three. Okay, so question number two. What is your favourite memory of motherhood?
This was a tricky one to choose one, but probably the one that makes me laugh the most was shopping with Jeremy as a toddler. He would break into song at random intervals, and if he's sitting up in the trolley, he would lean his head over to downstairs at Westfield, so we made sure that everybody in the whole centre could hear him, and he would sing full volume. Anything from Christmas carols at any time of the year to Penny Lane to Nice Boys Don't Play Rock and Roll, and it would be like full volume. So it was always fun.
Mine was about 12:30 this morning when my kids finally went to bed.
Oh. Yeah, good.
And I forgot the question. What was it?
What's your favourite memory of motherhood?
Oh, I have many. Favourite. There was one. I'm going to put that down. That's all good. I've told you that one. That wasn't my favourite memory of putting Josiah out of the car on the curb. But Josiah was just one of those kids that, you know, he'd come home from school and he lost his school shoes at school, come home with nothing, you know, like just really interesting things. And I can remember he was going on a school excursion and, you know, as a parent you've got to fill out the permission forms. And on the form, it had, you know, this, Josiah will be getting this on the excursion, that on the excursion. And it said, do you want your son to have, or does he need, an EpiPen? And I didn't know what an EpiPen was. I just thought, oh, yeah, you know, they'll have a clipboard, they're going on this special excursion, they'll need something to write with. So I ticked, yes, he'll need an EpiPen. And for those of you that know what an EpiPen is or don't, it's for people who have reactions to allergies. And if it's bad, Jennifer knows it. If it's bad, you got to give them a shot straight away to settle them. And so when Josiah handed his form into school, they said, "We're not aware of you having any allergies or any problems." And he goes, "I don't." He said, "Well, your mother put you need an EpiPen." So that was a really funny time with Josiah. We never let that down. But there's just been lots of them. I mean, when Kira Lee was the most fun when she was really young, she would jump off anything or climb anything at any time. So you'd be walking past the lounge and then suddenly she was doing Superman off the lounge and you'd have to catch her, or she'd be climbing up a tree, or she's a total tomboy. So some really great, funny times.
Great. Okay, so what's your biggest peeve?
Well, I'll go with a current one in my house, and that would be boys that walk in the door and they drop everything from one end of the house to the other end of your house, and your clean house goes from clean to dirty in 5 seconds. And the second one would be boys that can't put the toilet seat down. So that's the biggest debate in our house at the moment.
Or boys that pee all over the toilet seat. yeah, well, getting them to put it up and remember that. my biggest one at the moment is Max goes outside our gate and lets all the dogs in the street out. Yeah, so he's really interesting.
Is he going to be a vet or a zookeeper? No, I can't imagine. It's who let the dogs out. You can play the song as he goes along. Who let the dogs out? I now forgot the question. What was it?
Your biggest peeve.
Ah, it's mess. It's absolute mess. I cannot cope with mess. I'm very ordered and very OCD about things, and I know it can become an issue. But like, I can't even leave the house without things being in order. And and my kids, they don't really care about mess. And I think, where does that come from? Yeah, it comes from him. Absolutely comes from him. And so, yeah, they're happy-go-lucky in life if they've got mess and, you know, the whole deal. And like Josiah's 22 and I couldn't stand it anymore. I helped him clean his room this week because it was just beyond it, big clumps of dust everywhere, you know. So definitely pet peeve is mess and people not putting things back in their place where they belong.
That's good. All right. Do you have a funny story you can share about mothering?
I've got lots of funny ones. Some of them I think I'd get in trouble for sharing. But probably one funny one was Jacob has this love of buttons and pulling things apart and working out how they work. And we were in Sydney at Circular Quay and he was sitting in a stroller and the emergency stop button on the long escalators going up to the station were really low. And before we could even stop him, the button was pressed, the escalator stops, security come running from all angles, and we're trying to look really innocent and trying not to crack up laughing, which we failed miserably at. Meanwhile, they came to find out which person it was that had pressed the button.
I've got heaps as well. I'm just trying to think. My kids really like painting stuff, but not on paper or anything. Max used to really like painting Ashton with, you know, that pseudo cream stuff, the nappy stuff, and it'd take you hours to get it off. And one time we were over at Tom's brother's house and Maddie and her little cousin got their other cousin naked and, like, covered him in permanent marker. Yeah, she got in a bit of trouble for that.
I think I feel like I can get away with anything today because my kids aren't here today. they're watching. Probably two things. When Kiralee was young, she used to projectile vomit at any time. So it didn't matter where you were, it would just come out and flow really easy. And we were at a restaurant for dinner.
Lone Star.
Because we were adamant that kids weren't going to change our life when they came along. So we used to take them out to restaurants and, yeah, it worked out real well. And so we took them out to restaurants all the time and we were at Lone Star just having our dinner, like, you know, just a normal family. And then suddenly all under the table at Lone Star at Tugra. And it was just, I was just sitting there going, I can't believe this is happening. And like, you know, it vomits a bit like sour milk, like it was really bad. And sorry. And I just remember getting up and going, we just have to go. Like there's nothing, there's just nothing we can do. We got up.
I'm so sorry.
Apologise all the way. But yeah, that was one of those moments. And the other one was with Josiah. We were in Bubby Hughes galore one Saturday and we couldn't find him in the shop. And so we went looking for him and suddenly I found a trail of poo in Bubby Hughes galore. And I followed the trail. I followed the trail and there was poor Josiah. I think he was running to the toilet. And so we just grabbed him and we ran. We just ran like it was like another one of those moments. And, some really funny moments.
If one of our Facebook friends works for Barbecue Claw, we're terribly sorry. Next question. Sorry, I was enjoying the... That's good. Okay, so what is your greatest challenge?
I don't know. I really struggled with this one. My back would probably be... My numerous back surgeries and would probably be one of the big ones, but and to learn to trust God through that totally and learn that whatever happens, that he's got everything under control.
Yeah, I found this really hard as well. It's probably just giving all my situations to God and letting go of it and just trusting him, because there's just so much that you want to hold on to and you want to sort of try and fix yourself, but you can't. So you've got to just give it to God.
Yeah. And public speaking.
Doing
so good.
Well
so
done.
So good.
Challenges.
You see that? She looked at me then.
I have lots of challenges, and I'm trying to think of, like, motherhood challenges. I guess one has always been a challenge for me is that I was sort of an out-of-the-box mother, I suppose you can put it. I wasn't a traditional mother, and I struggled with that in my identity. I wasn't real maternal. I was quite young when I had the kids, so I was 19 and didn't know anything. Didn't know anything, and it was really, really tough. And I've sort of had to be challenged to just grow and be comfortable with who I am as a mother and who I am in God. That's okay. Because, you know, in Christendom, sometimes there's been a very traditional view of how mothers should be, and not everybody fits that box. You actually just have to be you, who God created you to be, and do your best, which is your best. That's all you can do. So that's been a constant challenge. But I have really enjoyed this time with the kids now older. I found that maybe I could relate to them more. So that's one of them. And the other is, as they grow, you have all these plans for them that you've kept hold of from the day they were born. And you've prayed them into being and you've done all these things. And then they do the opposite. They just do the opposite. And so that's been a real transition for me and for Keith, I know. To be okay with that and just to love them for who they are, not, you know, don't worry about what they do and the stages they're going through their life, but to love them for who they are and give them the room to be that and constantly pray for them. As they get older, I find you pray more. You really pray more. So just learning through that time and learning to take your hands off has been a challenge.
Okay, what is your favourite scripture?
That would be one in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's probably the one that, if I've got something going on, that'll be the one that the first thing in my mind. So it's probably my go-to scripture.
There's heaps that I really love as well, but this one, Isaiah 40:31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I love that one.
Mine is actually 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 17, and it's about Jehoshaphat, which is my favourite story in the Bible of when one of the tribes or regions or whatever you want to call them came to make war on God's people, and God's people got together, Jehoshaphat got the people together and said, you know, what are we going to do? The enemy has come to make war. And they got together and they prayed and they declared in faith and they prophesied, and God spoke to the people and said, you'll be okay, you've got to keep going through it. But you'll be okay. You've got to still go to the battle. You can't run away. And so I always find, you know, in the challenges, I think about that story because we just can't run away. And there's lots of challenges as parents and as families, particularly in today's society. There is a war on family. There is definitely a war on family. And there's a war on people, you know, There's lots of broken families. You may have come from one. There's lots of broken families. There's lots of kids growing up in single parent families or not with parents at all, or, you know, divorce and a range of stuff that goes on in our world. And so it's tough, but we cannot give up. And I think of that scripture and, you know, God says, go to the battle. I'll be with you. They go out and they worship. They put the musicians out there first. Go musicians, I think. They put them out there first and God's with them. They got this word from God, it'll be okay. And it says, you shall not need to fight this battle. Take your positions, stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And I think whatever's going on in family, you got to believe that the Lord is with you. And you got to believe that he is in control even amongst this battle, but it doesn't mean you don't have to go to battle. So I love that scripture.
Okay, what would be your most encouraging advice to other mothers?
Probably to enjoy and treasure every moment with your kids. Don't worry too much about the mess, the noise, the busyness, but just enjoy it and don't try to be the perfect mother, but be the best you can be and teach your kids how to be real through the good and the bad.
Probably just that you'll get through the times that you're going through. Like, you know, there is a rainbow at the end, if you want to call it that. And that things will be okay, even if everything doesn't look perfect or you know, how other people look, it will be okay.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I'm the same. Just be real. Be real. Nobody's a perfect parent. Nobody's a super mum or a super dad, even though that's portrayed, especially on social media. Social media drives, you know, they take pictures that motherhood's all perfect today and everything's in its place. Well, you know, that's not reality. What reality is that you teach your kids good values. Good values, and you bring them up in the ways of the Lord. That's all we can do as parents, and we've got to trust God for the rest.
Okay, so the last question. Who is your most inspirational person in the Bible and why?
This was a really hard question too, to choose one. But probably Mary, mother of Jesus. She would have been young when the angel appeared to her, and she acted with great faith through the whole, and even she brought Jesus up and then she watched him die on the cross, and for what she went through as a mother, to watch that, to watch her son die. An amazing woman of faith of God.
Mine is a slash between Moses and David. Moses, I love for his patience, because there's so many things in my life that I've just got to have patience for. And David, his courage, you know, to face the giant. And he was also a really just person. He crave justice, so
I found that really hard, and so I guess mine would be Deborah, the judge in the Old Testament. One, because I love it that she was a woman in the Old Testament moving in her calling and her anointing against what would have been such a difficult culture in the time, and I just love her faith. And her boldness to do that, and then to go to the battle and to go and say to Barak, well, I'm going. And him, like, you know, being a bit cowardice about it, but in the end coming along. I just love that about her.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. That's excellent. So thank you very much. I just want to just round it off with, I want to talk about Mary, actually. In John 2, 1 to 11, on the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? Yes, and? I can just imagine him looking at her going, yes, and? You know, what's it got to do with me? My hour has not yet come. But Jesus was waiting for the right time to perform his first miracle, to demonstrate the glory that he was carrying from God. And so his mother saw something in this moment that even Jesus didn't see. Jesus didn't even see that this was going to be his first miracle. This is where he was going to do the very first thing. It's funny, isn't it? As parents, we see things on our children that our children don't see in themselves. And that's an amazing thing when you think this is Mary. You know, she's not God, but she knows something of her son. So his mother says to the servants, she ignores him, by the way. You know, she doesn't have an argument with him. She doesn't argue with him. She just turns to the servants and says, whatever he says, do it. So straight away, Jesus knows. What does he know? Somebody's just acted in faith. Oops. Well, I have to do something now. Because that's how it works, isn't it? What did I say last week? When you see faith arise, yeah, that's when the opportunity is to do something. That's when God will speak. He sees the faith in Mary say, whatever he says, do it. That's a faith statement. That's in his face. Straight away, he goes, I have to do it. He doesn't argue with his mum. There were 6 water pots of stone, according to the number of manner of purification, contained 20 gallons of water apiece. Jesus says to them, straight away, after he says, whatever he says, do it. They're standing together. I want you to picture this. They're standing together. Jesus and Mary are standing together having this conversation. And some servants walk past. And the servant, Mary turns to one of the servants and says, whatever he says, do it. He doesn't argue with his mum. He just goes, okay. Straight in. And he says to fill the water pots with water and then fill them up to the brim. Draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. Now I want you to catch this. He didn't go to the pots. He didn't go and pray over the pots. Oh Lord, I wish thou will turn this to wine. He didn't do any of that stuff. He just told them what to go and do and they went and did it. And in that act of faith and obedience, that he was actually also acting in a faith of obedience to his mother. You can see the line, how it flows. And then God turned the water into wine, and we know the story. Take some out and take it to the master of the feast. And when they took it, when the master of the feast had the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from. But the servant who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. And these were the beginnings of the signs of Jesus. There's some really important things out of this story, other than just Mary, that she prompted it. But the water pot, the pots that they filled the water out of were actually for cleaning. So when guests would come into your house, you would generally have these water pots out the front. They'd go in, they'd dip their hands in, they'd wash them. They might take some out and put it on their feet, or there might be some pots on the ground. They'd dip their feet in, wash their feet. You know, they might have a bit of camel dung on their feet. They've washed that all off. He doesn't say go and clean out the things. He just says go and fill them with water. And you know, we're like that. We're these earthen, unwashed pots. And God pours his oil in, his wine in, his water in, the Holy Spirit. And he turns it into new wine on the inside of us. It was a really important first miracle that Mary, his mother, prompted. God fills us full of new wine so that we can then do the same things that Jesus did. Not just these works, but greater works than these will you do. And it can only happen when we're infilled by the water into these earthen clay pots and it turns into new wine and we give out the new wine to others. That's the whole point of that whole message, of that whole picture that we see. But Mum Mary, prompted it. And we've got to lean on those promptings that come from God, because you never know, your first miracle might come from it. Amen. Well, God bless your church. God bless you, ladies. Give them a great round of applause. Thanks to everybody for your setup and your for the morning tea and all that sort of stuff. And thanks to the musos, and thanks to God, of course, for getting us this far. So let's just pray. I think we've got food, so we'll just pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our mums. We thank you for our Mother's Day. We thank you for all the things you've done in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for every woman in this house, Father God. Because, you know, whether you're a mother physically, you can be a mother spiritually. Whether you're, you know, you're either been a mum, going to be a mum, or you're a spiritual mum. So we celebrate all of you. Every single woman in this house, we celebrate you. We thank you for your service to God. We thank you for your what you do for your families and for people around about. And I pray special blessing on our ladies in the church today. That God would bless you, bless you, bless you, and bless you in abundantly above, more than you could ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.